Jared from Subway. You're a good man.
This is a mistake.
Oh, wait, this is the wrong song.
My name is Jared Fogel. That's a good name, but you're mostly known as Jared from Subway.
I can't turn it off.
You had a little bit of extra
I see your finger above the button.
I'm ready to.
You're wavering.
I'm gonna eat better food. I'm gonna get it.
That's a callback.
It was a callback. That's an accident.
That was an accidental callback to the last episode.
It's not actually. I planned it.
I know you did, because we would stop recording if it was really a real accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we had a real accident.
You would have said a bad word, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good chance.
You would have said a curse word.
A swear.
Yeah, a swear word.
Hmm.
You going to bring up the real music now?
I don't know. Should I, or should we just go in with that?
We have to have the music.
Hmm.
The show will feel off if it doesn't have music to begin with. It's taking a while.
Hold on a second.
At some point, we're just going to cut this off. And it's...
Yeah, that's
is
it.
Is that it?
Yeah, I didn't know which one.
Whoa. Blow their eardrums
out.
You
are now plugged into Action Station.
It's too loud, you're too old.
Yeah.
It's jumping all over the place on this.
I know.
There. Hey, everybody. Look at this, another episode of Action Features.
Wow, two in a row.
Two and in a matter of weeks.
Wow.
Man. Oh. Jiminy.
Whoa.
What are we going to talk about this episode, Mike?
Well, not much. Not much, my friend.
Not a whole lot.
Okay, we've got some snack foods on deck. We've got...
some poop on deck.
Does that make it the poop deck?
No.
Okay.
That's just, you know, people say sometimes, like, oh, I got a poop on deck.
I see.
I got a real dump on deck.
I see.
I'm trying to find that email.
Nautical term. I was talking about the nautical term, the poop deck.
Oh, I gotcha.
It's a part of a ship.
Well, what all do we have to talk about then?
Well, that's it.
Just random stuff.
Couple things, and we have the top five of the toy lines that we wanted to... How do we put it?
That ended too soon.
Ended too soon. That's how we put it.
Ended too soon. We said last episode that we were going to do this top five, and we're actually doing it. A lot of times we'll say we're going to do something in an episode the next episode, and then we don't actually do it that next episode.
That happens.
But we did it this time.
We did it.
Look at us. All right, so what do you want to do first? The top five, or you want to do some just random talk?
You want to start with the top five?
I don't think so.
Man, that would be...
I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
That would be out of control. You know I'm paying attention.
I know you are. Hey, did you hear about the Star Wars date getting pushed back?
Yes, I did.
It went from May of 2017 to December of 2017.
Yeah.
And we both agree that we like it.
It's okay.
I'm cool with it. I like it better than if it was in May, because this way we have Star Wars, you know, we have Rogue One in December this year. Having another movie in May was pretty soon, in my opinion. When we first started talking about it, we were like, wow, that's like three Star Wars movies in 18 months.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Let's give Rogue One its time to be the new Star Wars movie before we get a new Star Wars movie. That's the right move.
That's the right move.
And if it helps the movie be a better product, that's great, too.
I don't think that's why they did it.
I don't think so, either.
But even so...
I like it. I'm glad.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe that'll be Disney's thing, whereas the original Star Wars thing was kind of opening in May repeatedly. Maybe the Disney Star Wars film should open in December repeatedly.
It's okay to have patience with things.
I like
You know,
that.
It's okay for people to have to wait a little bit.
Not every movie has to be a summer movie.
Right.
I liked this being like a Christmas time movie. You know what I mean? Like
getting
close to the holidays and looking forward to that movie.
There's magic in the air.
It's all in the air. It's all up in the air.
All is in the air.
Hey, what kind of snacks you
put your hands up in the air like you just don't care.
What kind of snacks did you bring?
Oh, okay. So my mom is like constantly asking.
I love it.
She's, what do you want me to bring you for your podcast?
I love that.
Well, I don't know. I said something weird. It's got to be something.
Something oddball.
Something weird.
Something not.
Let's give them
something
to talk about.
Like your normal snack.
Yes, exactly. So
Not exactly like your normal snack.
Oh. So this is not exactly like our normal snack. It's called what is it called? Oh yeah, Not Exactly.
Oh, it is. That's the name of the snack.
Not Exactly Snack Bites. And this is a peanut popcorn dipped in peanut butter.
And peanuts dipped in peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Peanuts dipped in peanut butter. Captain, Reese's got chocolate in my peanut butter.
I'm a big fan of peanut brittle.
Peanut brittle.
Someone on the...
you have some problems.
I can't get it open. Hold on, I've got a knife here.
I've got a knife.
Sorod, I've got a knife.
Captain, someone on the crew has made false peanut brittle out of glue. I've been tricked twice.
Captain Uhura told me she got the crunchy peanut butter. In actuality, she just took regular peanuts and stuck them in the creamy. I can tell the difference. It didn't come packaged like that.
Okay. Oh, man. So, yeah, we've got...
I got that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, so what...
That's good.
That's good.
It's a nice, just like, not overpowering taste. You know?
It's a peanut and a popcorn.
With some peanut butter on the bottom.
With peanut butter on it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's so much dipped in it, though.
It's not dipped in it. It's set on top of
it's
it.
It's just sat on it, yeah.
This is pretty good.
It's good.
It tastes exactly like what I would imagine.
It's only 15 delicious calories, too. Yeah. Per snack bite. That's per bite, though.
Yeah.
Eat a few of these and you're in trouble.
I never pay attention. You know?
They get you with those serving sizes.
Yeah, they do.
They get you, man.
One can of soda. Oh, like, only...
Look at this combos bag. How many servings is in that?
Let me see. Hold on.
A bunch, all bad.
Hold on. I want to read the... calories. 130 calories from fat, 45. You're thinking, oh...
I can eat a bunch of these.
Oh, yeah. I was only 11% sodium per serving. There's six in this grab-and-go bag.
This tiny bag.
This grab-and-go bag.
Six servings in that. That's ridiculous.
No.
That's inaccurate.
Two, maybe.
Maybe.
That looks like a... On a hungry day, that's a one CD.
What am I going to wash this down with?
Well, my mom also...
Here's a hint.
It's good. That's good.
It's the bottle's called Hint.
It's called Hint. It's a water with a hint of fruit flavor.
Oh, it is good. It is very much just a hint.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're overpowered with the taste of the fruit flavor in a water.
I like just a tiny bit.
This is it.
And that's what this is, for sure.
The name is accurate. It is just a hint of that blackberry flavor.
First, I would think, I'm just drinking water here. I am thirsty, but I'm going to have water.
There's a hint of something
else
there.
Did I eat an apple earlier?
That's refreshing.
Okay, so I'll drink that.
All right. Thanks, Mike's mom.
We'll get to the combos later.
Okay. So... The only other thing I have written down is for us to talk about Terminator Genesis.
I wrote it bigger than wrote it big on there.
You should,
yeah,
because it was terrible.
It
was horrible.
We saw it.
It was real bad. I was dumbfounded by how bad it was. It was there. It's just a constant string of things that are happening in the movie where you're going, "This is dumb. This is really dumb. Like none of this makes sense." This is poorly acted. Who made this movie? This is like a fan film. It's so bad. The only, like I said when before I gave you the DVD, the only thing I found enjoyable was Arnold being the Terminator sometimes. That was fun to watch sometimes.
Sometimes.
Like, okay. Yeah. He's making a funny line and he's being the Terminator. Okay.
He's back in the... I like to see Arnold on screen.
I do too.
And that's pretty much it.
I have a hard time not enjoying Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie now.
Yeah.
Like, I like him in Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And that movie is horrendous.
It's awful.
But I love Arnold Schwarzenegger in movies.
He's very funny.
He's very funny in movies.
From the opening of this film on, it's crap.
It's complete garbage. Courtney There he is.
Courtney Cox. Jai Courtney Cox is just...
He's the worst, man.
He's so dead in the water. He's
a potato with a coat on.
He's a potato.
That's it.
And the first thing you hear is his voiceover, and it's completely devoid of any kind of emotion or any... subtle nuances that would make you want to listen to him. I tuned out almost immediately, like, okay, great.
I don't get how he's an actor. Like, I don't get how he has roles. He's in that Suicide Squad movie now, too.
I noticed that, and I'm not...
I can't understand how anybody would hire him. Like, after seeing this going, dude, you're the worst.
That's what I would say.
Like, you're the worst. How do you follow up Michael Biehn's Kyle Reese with this turd? Like, it's so far...
I guess somebody out there has to be... Somebody likes him, but...
I guess.
Man...
I don't.
The reviews were not good for his acting on Terminator. And
oh, they're horrible.
I mean, critically speaking. And
I got to say, though, just as bad was Amelia Clarke's Sarah Connor. It was terrible.
She's not believable at all.
At all.
As Sarah Connor. She looks like a 14-year-old girl to me.
She does. They're trying to do the tough Sarah Connor from Terminator 2, but at the age of Sarah Connor from Terminator 1. And, you know, Linda Hamilton maybe could have pulled that off.
Yeah.
But this girl can't.
What was that?
I like her in Game of Thrones.
There are plenty of tough.
She's horrible
there
in this.
Are plenty of tough girls out there that you could have chosen.
Tons.
Why this girl?
She looks laughable when she's holding a gun. I mean,
it looks
laughable.
She's barely hanging on to that thing.
It
and what was
looks
that?
Huge.
What was that line? That line towards the end? She's like, terminate this.
Yeah, boom! And this says, rule this or.
Yeah, that's what I think it's.
Rule this? Yeah, like, I can't remember what it is. But it's something
we're going to,
dumb
we're
thing.
We're going to rule your species.
Rule this.
Rule, and then she.
It's
a joke,
ridiculous.
Man. She like hops into frame. And then shoots this shotgun, and it almost knocks her back through the wall shooting
silly.
The shotgun. It's so.
You know what it reminds me of is
rule this.
When you were a kid and you had G.I. Joes, and sometimes you ran out of weapons, so you had to use weapons from another toy line and stick with your G.I. Joes. And sometimes they were way too big for the G.I. Joes, and you had to kind of bend their thumbs to get their hands around them. That's what it reminded me of. The gun was out of scale with her body. Like, it was like a gun that was made for human-sized people, and she's not a human. Like, she was so teensy. Yeah. It looked ridiculous.
When
and
you,
like
when you told me that, I jokingly said, oh, let's give her a Desert Eagle.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the movie,
they gave her
the biggest handgun you can get.
Which looks silly. She can't even get her hand around the handle. Yeah. It looks ridiculous.
Very uncomfortable looking.
And then they did this.
Very small.
Very teensy.
She puts on his jacket at some point, and she's like swimming in this thing.
Yeah. They did that stupid scene, and sorry for ruining the movie for you guys, but you know what? We're doing you a favor because it's horrible.
It can't be ruined.
They do the stupid scene close to the end of the movie where they're going to do these mug shots, and they play the stupid cops bad boys theme and have this funny little thing where that shows the different heights and it shows how short she is. But it's not funny. Like, it's
not
like,
funny.
Okay, you're showing us that it's stupid. It's showing us how dumb this is.
Linda Hamilton wasn't that short.
She wasn't. And Jai Courtney isn't the same size as Kyle Reese. They seemed about the same. It's not
a good movie.
It was terrible. And none of it made sense. None of it made sense. And when things didn't make sense, they just went, oh, well, that's a secret. Well, who sent this Terminator back in time? Oh, it's a secret. What?
Mm-hmm. Secret.
You can't just gloss over things by saying, well, it's a secret.
Secret Terminator.
It's a secret where he came from.
It is a secret. We can gloss over.
I would have much rather had a film that just focused on what that Terminator was doing, the Arnold Terminator, what he was doing between 1984 and 2017.
Yeah.
Just getting odd jobs and like biding his time and like
he gets
a
roommate with an older he's one of the
getting
odd
into knitting and all these different things, like things he could do. I would have much rather watched that than this action adventure film that was terrible.
There was plenty of action just for the excuse of it. I feel like they really. They blew it. I mean, it was gone by the first 20 minutes or so. It was like,
totally.
You've done every bit that you can do.
Yep.
How many times does this guy get shot in the face? And then by the end of the movie, after you find out that this Terminator, who is partly mechanical, partly liquid
metal, partly real.
He's partly metal and partly real. Can't be hurt by guns.
You keep threatening him with guns.
You keep threatening him, like, pointing Jai Courtney... Cox is getting in the elevator, I think.
Yeah.
And then he comes up to him in the elevator, and he points the gun, the handgun, right at his face, and he says whatever his line was stupid. And I thought, why are you so confident with this pistol? You've shot this guy with everything you have. Everything.
And the other part that I was chuckling to myself for another part with Jai Courtney Thorne-Smith, where at the beginning where he's... You know, he's completely naked, and they're having this whole long sequence where they're, like, talking to him.
Yeah.
And all the resistance fighters are around. And
they're
couldn't have waited until after he took off his clothes to do all these scenes.
Shaking hands.
Talking about how important he is. He's looking up at him. Like, he's up above John Connor. So there's no way he's not looking at anything but his privates. I mean, they're just, like, right there.
Let me give you a hug before you leave.
Kyle, I believe in you, man. And I trust in you, and I'm sending you back to help out and meet my mom and... if you could just, you know, protect the future. And the whole time, he's just naked. Like, it's like, this is dumb. Like, this whole thing is dumb. Like, how are you even acting in this movie anymore? It's just...
A lot of people around.
Ridiculous. A terrible film. And the front cover, it says it's the best Terminator since Terminator 2. And that's not a lot to say, but that was I don't remember what it was. I don't remember who said it.
It wasn't.
But it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. And that's not even saying much.
Oh, man.
Horrible.
What else? There was...
I'm getting the Genesis!
Oh, yeah, there was this...
There's a Genesis game system! There's already the game system called Genesis!
There's a segment where the... Jai Courtney Smith, Pinkett Smith, is having a... is... having a flashback to a different timeline that he's not experienced, and I don't know how to... I wasn't able to pay full attention here. But...
I completely understand why.
He makes a point at the beginning talking about how he grew up in the future that's been destroyed, and he has no recollection or no idea of what it's like to live a normal life. And as he's going back, well, somebody grabbed him or something from another...
No. As he's getting ready to go... As Jai Courtney Love Whole Band is ready to go back through time, he sees Doctor Who get a hold of Kyle Reese,
mm-hmm.
He get a hold of Sean Connor, and he's changing the timeline then.
Okay,
and so he gets glimpses of another timeline somehow.
Yeah.
But I don't know how Doctor Who infecting Sean Connor would make a new timeline. Like, that doesn't make a new timeline.
Or how he would get a.
How would he get a vision of another timeline?
A vision
from
of
that?
His own past
know.
From that?
I don't know.
Anyway, but he's opening. It's his birthday. It's a birthday party. Everything's great. He gets the Genesis, which it's called Terminator Genesis. It's a Cyberdyne product. As far as I can tell, is just a pad.
It's an iPad.
He opens it up, and it's got the countdown on it.
You can't use it yet.
It's a countdown to
it's
Judgment
a terrible
Day.
Gift.
It's not a good gift.
It's a terrible gift. 1 billion pre-orders, though.
I was hoping
like a lot of people.
Mom, I was really hoping to see. I want to count down to Judgment Day.
I wanted to know when the world's going to end on my iPad.
It's on billboards and
well,
stuff later on
you,
the movie.
The
they have the countdown on the billboard.
You can just drive out somewhere and see the billboard.
What is the countdown to?
You don't
to?
Need the tablet to
what
see
is,
it.
What is the countdown to?
I guess until Genesis hits the operating system. Everybody's crazy about
okay,
the operating
so they gave
system.
Him a Genesis pad
that's not going to work.
That's
until
not
going to
work
days.
Until the okay. So that's
which is dumb.
But it's really a countdown to Judgment Day.
The thing that another stupid thing in the film is the time machine. And I talked to you about this, and the room where they're building the time machine, for some reason, they're also making the liquid metal bodies.
Oh yeah,
the polymimetic alloy.
Right.
It doesn't work without some kind of CPU inside of
right.
it. But for some reason, they're building that in the little ravine outside of the time machine,
yeah.
which is pointless. You don't have more than one room. You could build stuff?
And I surmise that they do not. But
they don't.
They came upon tough times, and they had to rent out half the building.
Look, we got to find a place to put this polymimetic alloy. Are you using all that time machine space, or can we have just like a little like
we use
area?
A little bit of
circle
it?
Area. Can we just use that?
What if we just ran some machines through just a little bit
just
of this liquid metal?
Just a little tiny bit down
just
here.
Just go through here.
And if we could just maybe get a couple of cubicles in here, just buy the time machine.
Cubicle.
If you're not using all the space, you know.
It's probably temporary.
We'll just put it there for a little bit. Yeah, super dumb.
And
it was obvious. Like, they were blatantly pointing it out. Like, oh, it's right here by the time machine. Check it out. Oh, well, something's going to get inside there.
It was really a matter of convenience.
Yeah.
Later on, John Connor. Okay, so they go back in time. And I can't remember what time period they're in at this point because they skip around a little bit. I think they're in 1997.
They go to 1973, 1984. They don't go to 1997. Instead, they go to 2017.
Maybe it was 2017. Anyway, they're at a hospital. John Connor shows up.
That's 2017.
John Connor from the future shows up.
The future shows up in a suit.
He's wearing a suit. He's looking dapper. He's like, hey, Kyle,
hey.
It's good to see you, buddy.
Hey, Mom and Dad.
Hey, Mom and Dad. It's great to see you guys.
Hey, Mom and Dads.
And they don't think anything of it.
Not a big deal.
They know. First of all, there's been a robot after him the whole time that has changing morphing capability.
They know about the T-1000.
They know about the T-1000.
They know about it because they just beat one in 1984.
They know about him.
They already know about it.
So, but yet they're not suspicious of this at all.
No.
They just say, oh, it's great to see you, John.
John, it's really...
Why would he go there?
Really good to see you, buddy.
Well, that wasn't in the plan.
Well, and they sent him back like 3 years earlier to protect Cyberdyne?
Yeah, they sent him back. He's been working at Cyberdyne the whole time. He got a job
Why?
There.
Why did you send him back
he
to
got,
there?
What, now, what's he been doing the whole time?
Exactly. He's been, you know, he put an application in.
Catching up on Night Dad's reruns.
Think about getting his face fixed up a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible film. There's not really much that makes sense. And at the end, Okay, so he has this whole thing where he tells her, in order to get her on his side, he tells her a quote that she told him as a kid in his vision of the alternate timeline that was something her dad told her before her dad died. And so, as barely knowing this family with a young Kyle Reese, she stops him and says, "Take a straight line, run." Who are you, lady? Why are you talking to our son?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you touching his hand?
I had a problem.
Why are you telling him that's something that's not even true?
Yeah, I had a problem with that, too, because it's, like, supposed to be this moment, and it's, like...
It's weird. It makes no sense.
You just gave that kid really bad advice.
Totally.
Just take... Just straight go, line. Just straight line. Just
I
run.
I know we're in these stairs where you're going to have to go all over just the place, run. And straight line puts you right into a brick wall, but... Straight line, just
I'm not,
run.
I'm not going to give you any advice, really. This is just feel good stuff.
I know you don't really know anything
about this me. Is just fluff, but take it.
It's cool.
Just accept it.
So at the end of the movie, these three weirdos show up and are able to talk to this little kid with no parents around.
Yeah.
And he has to tell him to say something so that way he'll see it. It's terrible.
Then on top of that, there was so John Connor, Cyberdyne has figured out a way to infuse his body. They've infused his cells with
nanotechnology.
With nanotechnology, and as far as I can tell, this only makes him as good as the T-1000 is.
It doesn't make him any better.
And I would have to guess that you would be weaker. You would be weaker. You're mixing human, frail, fragile cellular compounds with your metal.
So why does that make you better?
Why is he better that way?
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it.
It's just a gimmick. It's just to do it.
It's bad.
Then there's the part where Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese both get into the time machine. Which, by the way, these two have absolutely no chemistry whatsoever between these two.
Not at all.
And there are a couple scenes that really are hinging upon their dialogue and their back and forth between each other.
That's what works about the first Terminator, is Michael Biehn and Linda Hamilton work really well together.
Yeah.
And so you get, even in this short time, that they could actually be in love, like that they would fall in love that fast, because the actors are selling it, like they're making it work. These two can't make anything work.
I'm sure they didn't have good lines to work with.
Oh, they don't. But her dialogue is terrible.
It's
dry. It's horribly delivered.
It's so dry, and they have no chemistry whatsoever together.
It's bad.
And they keep... It's like, she knows that he's...
Well, she
John
knows,
Connor's father.
Yeah, somehow...
But she's reluctant the whole time. She's, like, against...
Plus,
she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. Like,
she has to know that the timeline has changed, but she keeps on telling him, like, well, I just can't tell you that you're gonna die. Right. Well, we don't know for sure he's gonna die anymore, because that timeline's completely gone. You know what killed him? The T-800 from 1984. That T-800 is gone. You destroyed it.
Yeah.
So what's going to kill him now? You don't have to worry about killing him because, I mean, him dying because that the thing that kills him is gone.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Absolutely ridiculous. The next segment of Genesis Talk is brought to you by Combos, and apparently
gone back through time.
A sweet and salty...
Bobby just sent me this text.
What's she trying to say?
She said, "I just heard Tom Cruise is going to be in a reboot of The Mummy." And I'm all, isn't that crazy soon for a reboot? And then they said it was from 1992, the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Oh, that's not right.
No, that can't be right.
I don't think that can't be right.
I got to find out when that was from. Hang on.
I'm a little bit curious. It would be soon for a reboot because that's a pretty fresh...
1999.
99, that's different, yeah.
But that's still 17 years ago.
Yeah. Well, they just did the third one.
That's a long time.
They just did a third one a few years ago.
Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting and different about that is that it's the Mummy in general is like this long... running franchise for Universal, and it's one of those, it's like King Kong, you know, it's going to get remade every, you know, 5 or 10 years, somebody's going to have their crack at it. And I was understanding, and I could be wrong, but I thought that the new direction, the Tom Cruise, is going to be really a remake of
the original Mummy.
Mummy.
Okay, that's a whole different thing, because way she was that the way the, what she heard it from was it was a remake of the Brendan Fraser film.
I heard it both ways. I heard it the original Mummy the first time, and somebody speculated after, and I don't know which is true.
Yeah,
I do think the Brendan Fraser movie doesn't need to be remade per se, but the original Mummy. That was a long time ago, and if you want to revisit that,
totally.
It's fine. Because those two are totally different.
Yeah.
Totally. There's a vanilla frosting encased in a pretzel.
I'll try it.
I know you prefer the cracker.
I do, but this might work because it's salty and sweet.
It's okay that you're wrong. It totally works.
Oh, it's delicious.
That's really good.
Mm.
So,
sweet and salty.
So...
I credit you
mm-hmm.
for introducing me to the sweet and salty combos.
Really?
Not the combos.
Not the combos. These are new.
Like combining sweet with salty.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't done that.
You got to do it.
It's great.
So, Jai Courtney Love and Sarah Connor travel back in time. They finally get in this time machine. They have to get naked together, get through the time machine.
Of course
they
do. Which only makes sense one time.
And on top of that, they're both like, ew, gross.
Ew, you're
this is
gross.
Ugh. Why are you acting that way? Oh, that reminds me. There's another scene.
She said they said 1992 on the radio and that the radio is a bunch of liars.
Oh, I'm sure they are a bunch of liars. There's a scene where they're talking and they're on either sides of the lockers. And they show, they cut to Sarah Connor changing, and it's a silhouette, and it's cast on the wall, and it looks like there's a spotlight behind her.
And she's so close to the lockers.
Yeah,
but the locker's not in the shadow.
The locker's not in the shadow.
Like, all of a sudden, it's like shadow puppets.
And she derobes, and she turns very to the side, and it was just like, okay, not like there was someone directing her. Okay, turn to the side so we can see your profile.
Mm-hmm.
And she just turns to the side, and she just stands sideways, very still, very unnaturally.
Like, all know you're a girl.
And the only thing that I could think of was Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Me too.
Where he gets with Anna Nicole and
Don't go anywhere. Come on, it's a kid show.
Ridiculous. Anyway, back to my original point. So that's silly. And then they time travel back to whatever time they're going to this time.
Well, when they get naked and go in the time machine, they're traveling forward in time. They go from 84 to 2017.
Gotta get back in time. So they
back to the future.
They gotta get back to the future.
Yep.
So they travel to the future and wind up right in the middle of a road. And as soon as they show up, they get nailed by this car.
I mean, just completely. Destroyed.
They just absolutely get hit, like
they can't prepare for it
by this car
because they've just been dropped in time. Like. I can see if you're standing there and you see a car coming, maybe you'll be able to roll on the car.
Yeah, or something. But that's not what happens.
They're sitting down on the road or whatever it is, and they just get wiped out.
And then they just get up like nothing happened.
Not a scratch.
Are they Terminators too? Do they have a...
They terminated the car.
They have a metal endoskeleton? Are they partly metal and partly real?
They might be partly metal and partly real.
It's like this thing that you had to think this through because it was a CG effect. You had to know that you were doing this. It's not an accident.
Yeah.
And you didn't think it through that, like, wait a second, these are humans, and they would absolutely be obliterated by a car going, like, 50, 60 miles an hour? So dumb.
So dumb. So dumb.
Man, and that's not even everything.
It's terrible. I mean, there's no getting around how horrible the film is. There's no excuse for it. And I just read last night...
Even the action was not fun.
It wasn't. I mean, like I said, the only thing you can enjoy is Arnold being Arnold. That's it. That's all it has going for it. It's tough for me to say which is worse, Terminator 3 or this one.
I thought in 3, at least they had the casket scene where he...
That was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool.
He was closer to being, like, the Terminator from, like, Terminator 2 than he is in this film.
I thought some of the... I don't know if it was the way they filmed it or whatever, but Terminator 3 had a really weird, like, a cheap look to it.
It looked like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
That's the other thing, is that it was poorly made. It was, and a lot of
plus
cheesy,
Claire Danes.
Stupid jokes, like where he puts on the heart sunglasses or whatever.
Yeah, stupid.
And when he gets his head torn off and it's CGI and he has to put his head back on.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
That was dumb.
That was really dumb. Yeah. It's tough. They're both horrible. Terminator 3 and Terminator Genesis are both terrible.
Yep.
They're bad.
Genesis has less of an excuse because when 3 came out, that was sort of par for the course, like, it's where things were.
Yeah.
Genesis should have known better by now.
Oh, they should have.
They should have been able to look back and say, okay, we have a chance to make a really great, serious Terminator film, and they didn't do it.
And, you know, I would even have kind of bought the older Arnold Terminator if they'd have done it right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm willing to suspend disbelief, but I'm not willing to throw out every single thing about reality that I know.
Well, when redoing Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese was the big misstep. I mean, you just...
Big mistake.
I mean, it's... Maybe it's not as iconic, Michael Biehn's Kyle Reese, as the other things in Terminator, but when you're playing out the exact same scenes, and you have Michael Biehn versus...
Jai T Latte.
It's laughable. Same with Linda Hamilton versus Amelia Clark.
That was the other thing that was very annoying. Was a different timeline, right?
Yeah.
And but he goes into the same store and picks up the same outfit.
Well, no, it's 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going back to what Kyle Reese was going back to.
Right, but he's on a different timeline.
Well, sort of.
I mean, he's from a different timeline.
No, he's supposed to be the Kyle Reese from the first film.
Okay.
But then the timeline gets altered, and then things change around it. But he's supposed to be Kyle Reese from the first film.
Even so.
It's
would
stupid.
He would he pick out the same outfit?
Probably not.
Would he get the pants from the same hobo?
Maybe, but probably not.
Maybe he would, but probably not.
But
why does the police officer, why is the T-1000...
Why is he there?
Why is he the same police officer?
Why is he there? Ugh. Stupid.
Man, it's...
But speaking of the Terminator...
Yeah.
There's going to be a new recurring segment here at the show. Is this a good time for this? A good segment?
Yes, let's move on from Terminator Genesis.
So my wife, Bobby, I love my wife, she's great. She has not seen that many films that most people would regard as, yeah, I've seen that film a ton of times. Of course, everybody has seen that film. If you can think of a lot of those films, I'd say maybe 80% of those films she has not seen. So I'll say like a movie to her, like, oh, this is great. And she'll be like, I've never seen that. I guess she just... Movies don't matter that much to her, which is kind of like, I guess, proof that the whole opposites work thing. Because I love movies.
This is a track.
But she doesn't really care about movies that much. It's not a big deal to her. She could take or leave movies. So a lot of times I'll say, well, that's from this. And she'll say, I don't know anything about that movie or I don't know what that is. So we were talking about it and... I don't know. She explained what I said. Well, tell me what you think happens in this film.
So she hasn't seen Terminator.
So she has not seen Terminator
or T2
or T2
or any of them.
She saw Terminator 3, I think. Maybe I don't know for sure, but I think she said she had seen Terminator 3 because I thought she said I think I've seen the one with Claire Danes. I can't remember for sure, but I think she said she had seen that one. But even then, she didn't pay attention. If she doesn't like something,
how could you?
She doesn't pay attention
how could
to
you?
It either. I forced her to watch Star Wars at one point. She'd never seen any of the Star Wars films, and she begrudgingly sat through them and doesn't remember anything about any of the films because she didn't care about the movies.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you tell me what you think this movie is about. And so it was so funny when she was telling me these things. Okay, I was like, stop. So the recurring segment is movie synopsis is by Bobby. I'm just going to say a random movie to her that most people have seen or have a good knowledge of, and just see what she thinks it's about.
Should be common knowledge.
This is like we're talking about major films here, like Gremlins or Goonies or Rambo, Jurassic Park, movies that most people have seen or you know caught it on TV. Maybe you didn't set that up, but you know the most.
It's culturally.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, ingrained.
But she doesn't really know anything about them. She was like on a desert island or something. And so she said, well, I'll write it as if it's the back of the DVD. What I would think the back of the DVD would say for this film.
Yeah.
I said, no jokiness, just exactly what you think it would be.
Straight up.
Based on either maybe she saw it at one point or maybe she's heard about it over the years, what she would expect. So the first one is Terminator. And this is what Bobby would think that the back of the DVD of Terminator would say.
I've not heard this yet.
All right, you ready? Okay, here we go. The Terminator travels back in time to try and save his son, John Connors, who is the key to saving the world at a later time. He had fallen in love with Sarah Connors on a previous time travel. He does save his son, but now the world might be in jeopardy. And as you know, Bobby thought that Total Recall was one of the Terminator films.
Oh, yeah.
And so she puts in there, and they can continue the story in Total Recall, one of the Terminator films, which now she knows is not a Terminator film, so that was a joke.
Of course, yeah.
But that, she's like, I know my synopsis ruins the movie for you, but that's what I would expect to read on the back. None of this is right. Not a single bit of this is right.
You know, it's a lot closer.
The Terminator travels back in time, that's right.
It's a lot closer than I thought.
His son is not John Connor.
No, it's not his son.
The Terminator is not a good guy in the first film.
No.
He doesn't love Sarah Connor.
No.
They definitely don't have a baby together.
He's
the Terminator.
She's basically just joined Kyle Reese and the Terminator
into
together.
One character.
Into one sweet character.
One sweet character. You know, they originally wanted Arnold to be Kyle Reese, so she's just making it as if it actually worked out.
It's her piece of fan fiction.
So that's the first one. And I can't wait to read... This one, if she had seen Terminator 3, she at least has some knowledge that there's some time travel
right,
involved.
Right, right, right.
There are other films where, like Big Trouble in Little China, I mentioned that one to her. I was like, I would like to hear your Big Trouble in Little China. She's like, I have no idea.
It's completely blind.
What happens in Big Trouble in Little China? I have no idea.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
So that's going to be completely just based on the title that she's going to have to come up with a synopsis.
We should say that for our, we'll do a Big Trouble in Little China
episode. She's already written her synopsis for Rambo.
Okay.
So Rambo will be the next one.
All right.
And I won't say if she's close or far off or what until we actually get to it. But that'll be a recurring segment here. So look forward to movie synopsis by Bobby, who has very little knowledge of any classic films.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. So is that it for all the stuff? Or you got anything else you want to talk about? We're already at 40 minutes.
Yeah, we should get to our top five. I was going to mention that. I forgot that Die Hard Year One is being made, but they're doing it, and
so
it just seems like
we already had that.
Which
it's
reminds
Die
me,
Hard.
Yeah, exactly. It's called Die Hard.
It's called Die Hard.
The first movie where he walks in, he saunters into his wife's place in California, and he's just a beat cop who's never been through anything intense in
his
life.
A situation.
He's into a major situation.
See, I was going to say we shouldn't say too much about it.
That's year one.
In case we give Bobby Die Hard as a movie.
Yeah.
But she doesn't listen to the podcast anyway.
Yes, she
doesn't listen. We're covered. Die Hard will be a great one.
That's crazy. If
she's never seen Die Hard.
She's
never seen Die Hard.
Man.
That'll be a good one.
So anyway, I don't want to let it alone. Leave it alone, guys. It's my thought. Okay, so let's... Top five.
Top five toy lines that ended too soon. Now... This could go a lot of ways.
I had to cheat a little tiny bit on some of these.
We live in an age where at Toy Fair and stuff, you see what was coming.
Yeah.
And we know about prototypes. So we know about toy lines where, hey, this is what could have happened if the line were continued. And so some of those make my list based on that.
Me too.
Others are for the potential the line had, and maybe we don't know what would have been coming, but there was potential there, or maybe it was incomplete or something like that. So there's a lot of factors that could go into deciding what made this list. I will say this was a fun list for me to come up with because it wasn't just an immediate, here's a bunch I can think of, and I have to narrow it down to these certain ones. This one I really had to think like, okay, did it really, really need to continue? Or did we have a good enough line?
That was my thought, and it also reminded me of how fortunate we've been, really, to, you know, most things, anything that I was interested in that I collected, you know, we pretty much got it. I'm not, like, pining for anything.
I agree completely.
I
think a lot of the... Especially the lines of the 80s, where it was like... They just kept going and going and going for a long time. Yeah. And now, you know... We give NECA a lot of praise on the show. But NECA really has fulfilled a lot of, like, toy holy grails. And they do a good job of, you know, making sure you get a robust line if they can. There are a few NECAs on this list for me, and it's just... due to the lack of retail support and things like that. But yeah, okay. So you want to jump in?
Yeah.
You want to be first here?
Sure. My number five is from Corgi. And if you remember correctly, they had there were never even prototypes made. It never saw the light of day, but they announced that they had the license
I
to do
this.
James Bond 007 line.
They showed a drawing.
Yeah, and they were going to go all out with the, I think there were 6-inch figures.
Those combos are so good.
I know, they're so good. I think there were 6-inch figures, or three and 3/4 figures.
I think there were 6-inch. There were both lines. There was going to be a 3 3/4 and a 6-inch line because the 6-inch was pre-posed,
right?
And the 3 3/4 was going to be
they had a statue like the McFarlane type, And being a big Bond fan and having it be one of the most successful franchises of all time, you know, 24 movies deep now, mm-hmm. 25 if you count, 26 if you count the unofficial. It's ridiculous that there hasn't been like a real successful toy line done by a good company. So
you don't even have to do likeness rights. You could just do a James Bond based on the books and just have it be...
Exactly.
Here's James Bond, and here's Dr. No, and here's, you know, Goldfinger.
It could be like Star Wars or anything. It's limitless, you know, with all these characters, and it never
happened. That'd be great for reaction.
But I have my hopes up for that.
A reaction line would be...
You could work in reaction line. Yeah, give me a James Bond.
I remember that. I think you even, like, emailed... Either I emailed Corgi or you emailed Corgi to get more info.
Yeah, maybe.
And then it just never went anywhere. It was just... That's a good one.
Yeah.
That one ended before it even started.
Ended before it even started. It wasn't even fair, but...
Okay, my number five is the 2000s era Masters of the Universe line. Not Masters of the Universe Classics.
Yeah.
Not the Vintage line. Although the Vintage line, I think it could have gone a little bit longer because we got more movie characters, but that's a pretty robust line. The 2000s Mattel Masters of the Universe line was plagued by shelf-warming,
mm-hmm.
crappy He-Man and Skeletor variants that just... absolutely destroyed the line, and Cartoon Network juggling the cartoon around the crazy time slots and not really giving it a chance. But that line had a lot of potential, really cool figures. A lot of people were super excited about it. And when NECA came along and they started doing those stactions, like the statue mm-hmm. to continue the line, those were like selling like hotcakes. It went multiple waves of statues just so people could complete the line. That shows you that there was... mass potential to keep that line going, and it was just Mattel's botched handling of it that ruined it. So for that, for my reason, or for those reasons, that's why it makes my list that it ended too soon, and it was due to Mattel's poor management skills.
I was working at Toys R Us at the time, and I remember just those He-Man just Skeletor just they're sitting there forever.
They did this promotion where if you went and you bought three... and you had a receipt proving you went and bought three of them within this time frame, and they knew it was all He-Man and Skeletors that you could send away for Mossman, I think it was. I think it was Mossman. And it was obviously a thing just to get those shelf warmers off the pegs. They were doing anything they could because they knew how horribly they'd done the case packs at that point. But it was too late. It was too late, man. You botched it. They completely underestimated the collector market and completely overestimated the kid market.
Silly.
Yeah.
Okay, my second one also... I have three on here like this. There's a company called Dusty Trails.
I remember those
too. They were out for a short period of time, and they wound up making some also McFarlane-type...
statues.
...military figures. I think they had a Western one, and they had a...
Well, it looked like Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, and they had a knight, I think, or something like that. They had a samurai or... something. Anyway, those got to stores, and I don't think did too well, but they had shown prototypes of a 3¾-inch line or a 4-inch line of just
Tombstone, basically.
Yeah, they were just generic Western figures, but each one was basically from the movie Tombstone. You could tell that's what they were going for. And Tombstone was one of my favorite movies.
We were super excited about that line.
For a long time, and man... once again, my hopes got up, and I thought, okay, finally I can get these.
That's poor management again.
And
let's put out these crazy, weird statues. Oh, they didn't sell? Well, people must not be interested in these Western figures after all.
Yeah.
Let's not release them.
They blew it, man.
They blew it.
So
big time. All right, my number four. Is there anything else you want to say about
no.
that?
No.
Okay.
No.
My number four is NECA, one of the three NECA lines that's on this list. NECA's Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
This almost made it to number one the more I thought about it. At first, it wasn't even on my list, and I was like, it's got to be on my list. And then I almost put it back at my number one, and I'm like, nah, it's still... it's got to be lower on the list, but to start the line with all ghosts
mm-hmm.
and expect everybody to buy in and hopefully get the likeness worked out for Ghostbusters later on, poor move.
You're not going to build a line on Gozer.
I thought that those were great. They looked great.
Yeah,
especially
for
the
time.
They
looked good, yeah.
The Terror Dogs were awesome. The Stay Puft was great. The Slimer was great. It had a lot of potential, and I was looking at it and I'm like, man, if they get to the Ghostbusters, yeah. these could be great. And at that point, we didn't have the Mattel line, and we didn't have Diamond Select. And
right, this was
a chance for us to get some movie Ghostbusters. If we could just get to these ghosts, we'll get to some Ghostbusters later on. And it just never happened. It just fizzled.
I forgot all about
that. Thanks to just nothing but ghosts.
I pretty much hated. I hated NECA at that point.
Yeah.
They've redeemed themselves, but they were making the statue type, which I was okay with. But their quality's improved a lot, as far as sculpts go and everything, and their articulation.
I think their paintwork's always been pretty solid.
The paintwork has always been good. They were up there with McFarlane as far as like
And their sculpts have just gotten better.
Being
and better,
like
and
a serious, they look like a serious
better and
thing.
Better. It's like they took it a step at a time. It was like, okay, let's work on paint. Now let's work on sculpts. Now let's work on articulation. It's a company that's kind of always getting better.
Yeah.
So I
love NECA now, but that I was
huge
yeah.
misstep back then.
Yeah.
To not get out some actual Ghostbusters. Yeah. And I would have loved, looking back at it, I would have loved to seen what NECA did with the actual Ghostbusters themselves.
Yeah.
Like how they would have turned out. But never got to them. All right, your number three?
My number three is Palisades. Remember the
Terminator.
Terminator 2.
I forgot about those.
3¾-inch line of Terminator 2 figures, and also this was pre-NECA having it, pre-anybody having it.
All we had was Kenner.
All we had was Kenner, and Kenner was gone at the time, and Hasbro had taken over, and all Hasbro was doing was G.I. Joe, basically. And they showed these figures, and they were awesome.
They were awesome.
They were really cool.
And we were at a point where they'd given us 3¾ Army of Darkness.
Yeah,
and
the
first ones were not so good.
They weren't.
But the sculpting on the next ones, even though they were stupid blind box packaging, were way better. Like that Ash is great. That Ash is still great.
Yeah.
The Chainsaw Ash from Sears 2.
It is. And had they done that well, maybe they could have got to Terminator, but they screwed the pooch on that by not
stupid
giving you the
box.
Main character of the movie.
He was like one in a case.
Yeah, of 100.
Which is insane.
He was one out of 100, the main character
the main
of the
guy.
Movie. The only guy that you actually care about. Who wants a Pit Witch?
Nobody wants that.
What
who
are
wants
you
Deadites?
What are you going to do
with
them?
Who wants the Knight? You know, or...
Oh, get the Knight.
Get the Knight.
I love Army
Everyone
of Darkness. I was thinking
Ash.
About... Yeah, that's what you want. That's what it's about.
And you're just going to frustrate people when you did this whole blind box. Well, we're going to put him in there, but he'll be this. That way people buy lots of them. No, people are going to buy none of them.
Right.
And Palisades went under pretty quickly after Series 2. Like, the entire company went under.
That has to be...
It had to be a big chunk of it.
Because before that, they had the 2-packs.
Yeah, and those didn't sell.
And
well.
Those didn't sell because, once again, there was no regular Ash. They had, like, an evil Ash in one pack.
There was
and
one regular Ash, but it was, like, Ash from Army of Darkness with, like, the metal hand and a cape. And the sculpting on it was poor.
Yeah.
It was really poor. And again, you're stuck buying this 2-pack with a character you really don't want. And it was all a matter of, like, you just don't know how to sell something. Like, you
right.
don't know how to sell this line.
This
just
should
make
be
Ash.
This should be really easy.
You make Ash.
You make
That's
Ash.
You
One
it.
Figure.
You make Ash.
Put him out. And that,
yeah.
that should be, it's, you know, it'll be good.
But, man, those Terminators looked great.
They looked really good.
I was super excited about those, too.
And good articulation just, for that size.
Work.
And the paint looked good. Everything looked, I mean, I was geared up. So.
Yeah. Those were great.
And...
That would have been a really cool line. Number three for me, and even though this lasted for a while, is Mask.
Oh. That was on Nate's list, too. He gave me his list a couple weeks ago.
I feel like Mask, even though the racing series was kind of dumb in the cartoon, I felt like the toys themselves, like Split Seconds and those racing series, were really innovative, and they were really kind of pushing how far they could take this line and how many different things they could do with it. As opposed to just putting out the same stuff, which I think G.I. Joe was kind of guilty of throughout the 80s, is kind of doing the same stuff for a long time. Transformers is kind of doing the same stuff for a long time. Whereas Mask was like, okay, what can we do to upgrade it? Let's make it so the vehicle's split into two, and you have to press one button that does these things. We'll do a computer-generated character that comes with it. You get two figures instead of one figure. And it was just like, where else could this go? Like, how much further can you take this line? And if it had kept going, it would be remembered in the same popularity as G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Yeah.
We would still be talking about them now if they just made it a couple more waves. And I would love to have seen how... Because Kenner was so innovative and so, you know, not just content to keep doing the same things then, that they could have, I think, really brought it out and just kept on doing more and more interesting things with Mask. So
that would have been cool.
I'm sad to see Mask end when it ended.
I always loved Mask. That could have been like G.I. Joe and just kept going, really. And
yep.
just, you know,
great line. Combine Transformers and G.I. Joe into one line.
Yeah.
You got your vehicles that transform into other things, and you got your secret agents, guys that you can go off and do your stuff with your figures. Brilliant idea for a line.
Yeah. My number two is Mask also, but not
my number three is Mask,
but the Mask from the movie, the Jim Carrey movie.
Oh boy!
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Well, they did plenty of those.
I got plenty
of those. My number two is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and we discussed this.
Yeah.
On the Robin Hood episode.
That's true. Yep.
They had. I can't say that the line died too soon because you got everybody in the first wave that you really needed,
mm-hmm.
but that second wave looked so cool.
It did look sweet.
With that flaming arrow Robin.
Oh, man.
I want that. I want that right now.
Yeah, that
and,
was cool looking.
The Azim with the gold sword, and it looked like they were stepping it up a little bit as far as like cloth goods and the paint schemes and everything were just cool. It was fresh. I wanted
neat.
It. So.
Yeah, that one's a shame. That's one where if you didn't know that more were coming, you'd be content.
Exactly, yes.
But when you see what else could have happened, then you're like, oh, well, now I'm not content anymore.
If I hadn't seen those, I would.
I hadn't seen those. Yeah. There's my number one on the list is exactly that. That's exactly
scenario.
Yeah. But my number two is NECA's Planet of the Apes line. This is a fresh one, and this is just recently kind of gone, no more, it's not happening anymore. There's so much potential for that line.
Never got your Taylor.
Never got Taylor. Not only what they showed prototype-wise, like doing the TV series stuff, like Vesca and Galen and Urko, but the stuff that they could have gotten to, like Nova, Taylor, Brent, all these other things that they could have done and they wanted to do. Like when he first announced it, he's like, this could be our next Predator. Whereas Predator's on their like 15th series now or something. And it's just the market just wasn't there. Like, not enough support at retail to keep on going. And that one hurts, man.
Because
those are great figures.
Yeah, they're really nice.
And Planet of the Apes really has never had great figures until that line.
Yeah.
And that one hurts.
Sorry, James.
That one hurts, man. I really love that line.
Sorry.
And to know it's over and that nothing else is going to happen stinks.
Yeah.
Definitely feel... I love what I have. I'm always going to be content with what I've got. Like, super happy. Great figures. But part of me would always want more.
What kept them from getting a Taylor and a Nova out?
I think that their drive was just like Predator, where the line is about Predator.
Yeah.
And then later on, I don't remember what, Series 9, they got to Dutch finally.
Right.
It was more like, this is a line of Planet of the Apes. The apes are what this line's about. We can't just base it on, let's put out a Taylor. And then the people that are going to get Taylor, they're just going to leave.
Yeah.
We want to know that there's enough people here to sustain it without just Taylor.
Right.
Which makes sense when you think about it. Like, the Predator line is well beyond the point of people just wanting Dutch. They want all the Predators. And I don't think adding a Taylor in would have brought in enough customers to save the line and keep it going.
Yeah, probably not.
You may have had a few people pick up the Taylor.
Yeah, sure.
But it wouldn't have been enough to change the numbers to make the line...
Right.
Successful enough. You need those people that are willing to just buy just the apes and all those ape characters and all those, you know, reusing those body parts again and again to keep a line like that going for a long time.
Yeah.
Just like Predator did. Just like Aliens is doing now. I mean, they didn't introduce Ripley until Series 5, I think it was.
Right.
Them's the breaks.
Them's
the breaks.
Those are the breaks.
That one hurts.
All right. That brings me to number one. Number one, top five all-time toy lines that died too soon is the company Into. I think this is on your list.
It's not on my list.
It's not?
No, my last one is a NECA one.
Oh, okay. Number one, the company is Into. The line is the Road Warrior Mad Max.
Yeah. Yeah, that one hurts.
It hurts. And the
they got two waves out.
They got two waves. They're not the best figures in the world. They're certainly not the worst. They are pretty cool. They're fun. You got Max in his definitive, his iconic look from Road Warrior.
Yeah.
But for Pete's sake, I want Mad Max from the first movie. I could stand to have Goose, you know, with maybe even with a motorcycle accessory or something. Just
they had the V8 interceptor and do the
V8 interceptor
ready to go.
And even the cop car, the interceptor, the regular interceptor from the first movie.
Yep.
I love that first movie so much. More than the second movie in my older years. I like the first movie.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love the second one, but anyway, so that's something I would have liked to see. Is just let me get a Max from the first movie.
Just get that out.
At least get that. But
I'm surprised nobody is. I mean, there must be a tough license to nail down now.
I guess
because nobody else is even. I know NECA was trying to get Fury Road.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work.
Like, really?
I guess George Miller's just not interested.
Why would he care? You know what?
I don't know what the hitching point is.
Drum up a little bit of.
Into made it work somehow. Somehow they got the license. They were getting a lot of licenses when they were around. They were getting a lot of big licenses, but I don't know. But it's, I guess it's just too tough now. But it's just not happening. No Mad Max. Crazy. My number one is NECA's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
The Mirage Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And this one is very much because I saw what else they were going to do.
They gave you the turtles.
Are the best turtle figures ever made. They're based off the original Mirage comics. They're great articulation, great sculpt, great paintwork. The Four Horsemen did the sculpts on those, and they're great. Great accessories, cool diorama bases, and just an awesome line. The turtles don't get any better than the NECA turtles. They put Playmates to shame on their first try on doing Turtles figures. Just incredible figures. And the second wave would have had a Foot Soldier, Shredder, and then a U-Trom, like a little brain guy to put with them, like basically Krang. And then I think a different foot henchman with like a hat type of gear on. But the Shredder was so awesome looking. And every time I look at those Turtles, I have those Turtles, I just think about that Shredder. Like, I wish I had that Shredder.
Yeah.
And of course, if those had been a success, then they probably would have gotten Casey out, and they probably would have done Splinter eventually, and they would have just kept on doing it. But I don't know what happened. It seemed like everybody bought those figures. I don't know if it was a licensing issue that came up. I take it back. I think Playmates stepped in and said, no, no more. I think that they said they were going to do a comic line, and they didn't. They yanked the license or something like
that. Well, it's odd that they would.
I don't think that they felt like they were going to be showed up as much as they got showed up by NECA.
Well, even so, I mean, isn't it legally binding? You say, yes, you can do this thing.
I don't know. I don't remember the exact story, but I do remember something about Playmates stepping in, and that's why it didn't happen. Mm. That's why the second wave didn't happen.
Wow.
Because they must have sold great. Everybody bought those figures when they saw them. But if you've never seen them, you should really look up the unreleased NECA Ninja Turtles Wave 2, because that Shredder is so awesome. The Foot Soldier's awesome. The U-Trom's awesome. They're just really, really cool figures. And it stinks that we'll never get them.
That stinks.
People still bring it up to NECA on Twitter. Like, is there any chance this could ever happen again? And they always have to shoot it down. Like, it's over. It's not going to happen. They're never going to happen.
Get your heads out of the sand.
It's never going to happen. Get over it. That's it. If you have a top five list of toy lines that should not have ended, be sure to post them on facebook.com/actionfeatures and get in on the conversation. We always like seeing other people's lists.
You know we like seeing the lists.
What was on Nate's? Do you have Nate's list?
I don't have it with me.
Do you remember anything from it?
It was Mask and there's a couple good ones on there. I'm sorry, I don't have it. I remember Sky Commanders was on it.
Hey, that was a good line.
That was a fun line.
That was a fun line. That's another great Kenner innovative line.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton of those Kenner lines that could.
An honorable mention along the same lines as my first three would be the Star Wars line that was mask size. They were mask size figures. This was back in
the
80s.
Yeah.
They were
going to do that
proposing
line.
That.
Yeah,
that would have been really cool.
There's a bunch of lines that they talked about doing different companies. That would have been cool had it happened, and
right
for some reason
it's really a different Rosaurus thing. But I had a hard time.
No, I agree with what you put on your list. Yeah. Rosaurus, who did like Speed Racer and Crash Bandicoot and a bunch of other lines.
Ah, yes,
they did. They were going to do Badlands, which was like a Western line that came with like dioramas.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I was so excited about those when they showed them.
Yeah,
and then again, Rosaurus just went under.
Nobody
can
get any Western figures off the ground. I still don't have a good cowboy for a custom base.
Nobody does.
That reminds me too that another honorable mention would be the Hanna-Barbera line from whoever's.
Oh yeah,
making those.
Yeah, Jazzwares.
Jazzwares. This keeps happening, and I'm pretty sure it's because it's something I want.
Johnny Quest would have been great for that line.
Johnny Quest.
Didn't happen.
You start off with Yogi Bear and
those were nice figures.
El Cabong. better get the El Cabong out there.
They were nice figures.
They were nice.
Well painted, well articulated.
And that's fine. And people,
I'd always
those.
Wanted a Fred Flintstone action figure.
Sure.
They did a great Space Ghost.
Sure.
But the problem is that they lost focus right off the bat. It was like, here's a 4-inch scale line.
Yeah.
Here's like a 6-inch/7-inch line. Here's a PVC line. And here's a stuffed toy line.
Right.
All at the same time.
I noticed that.
Just make one line and make it work first.
It's all over the place.
Don't give people too many choices to spend their money on.
Right.
Because then you're going to have four lines.
Nobody can decide on
barely
anything.
Barely moderately successful.
Right.
Instead of having one line that they can all just put one bit of money into and make it a success.
Yeah. And this would be the second time, because McFarlane Toys announced the Johnny Quest license and put out one Johnny Quest statue wearing a jetpack, which he never wears in the cartoon, mind you. And never,
that was poor.
You never got a Race Bannon?
I want to say Playing Mantis or something like that announced a Johnny Quest line too. And
yeah,
never
I think
happened.
Playing Mantis did.
They were doing like the Captain Action redo stuff.
Yeah, they had.
And that never happened. They showed prototypes for a Johnny Quest line. And
right.
Never happened.
I don't know why. Why not?
There's so many licenses where it's like, this seems like a no-brainer. Like, if you put this out, there'd be enough people buying it that it'd be okay.
Right.
But.
And this, the way Jazzwares was doing it is the way that I've always wanted it to be. That kind of articulate, just treated the same way, you know.
Their Space Ghost. I have their Space Ghost, and that's like the only. I think the kids have.
Or just like the Resaurus. They remind me of the Resaurus figures.
The
Speed
Racers from Resaurus were great.
They remind
if Johnny
me of the
Quest
Speed
was like that, that would be awesome.
That's what I'm saying. They remind me of that. And
Resaurus, really, man, they did some great stuff back when they were around. There was a lot of cool companies that were doing some really great stuff, and then one or two missteps for a small company like that, and it's over, man.
Right.
It's just, they got to be careful, and it seems like some decisions that were made were pretty dumb ones. All right, well, that wraps that up. You got anything else you want to talk about, or
no,
is this it?
This is it.
Yeah, we're in an hour, so it's a good place to
zit. Don't get scared now.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to sign off on this one. See you guys over at facebook.com/actionfeatures. I don't know what the next episode is going to be about.
You know it's going to be good, though.
Might be about Death Wish.
Maybe we'll do Death Wish 3.
Yeah, maybe Admirable Villains, one of the two.
We've got two really good ideas on the pipe.
All right, we're signing off on this one, and we'll see you guys next time.
Adios, muchachos.